Hi, everybody. I'm Paul Yeager. This is the MTOM Show podcast, a production of Iowa PBS and the Market to Market TV show. We are going for a crop check. Last year, we talked to a couple of farmers in North Dakota and Kansas a couple of times during the year. We're going to do the same thing again this year, but we're changing spots just to kind of keep things moving. We're going to go Illinois and Oklahoma. Illinois in the heart of the Corn Belt is where we'll talk to Chad Bell. We just talked to Chad a few weeks ago on an episode about his stardom as a Super Bowl actor, Super Bowl commercial actor. So if you want to go back and listen to Chad to get to know him a little bit more, but where you got caught up with him in the cab of his pickup truck as he waited for it to warm up and dry off. He had just had some rain overnight, so we find out where the early planting window opened for him and what it means moving forward. So you'll hear from Chad Bell. But you're also going to hear from Mike Schulte. He is a farmer in Oklahoma. He also has a day job as the executive director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. So we'll find out a better scope picture of the wheat picture in Oklahoma. I can tell you it's summed up by one word, dry. There's a stat he is going to throw out that might surprise you. How long the state had gone between measurable rainfalls. It's one that he hasn't seen in quite some time. So that is our discussion this week, crop progress. If you have any feedback for me, send me an email at paul.yeager, that's Y-E-A-G-E-R, at iowapbs.org. You can also like us, subscribe to this podcast. You can share it with a friend. That's when I really appreciate it. And I really thank those core group of you that watch or listen each and every week. So here, let's find out what's happening down on the farm. Chad, you're dressed like you're farming today. Any farming today in your future?
The only farming in my future today is doing a little bit of repair work on the bean planter and finishing some setup for a new group of pigs in my pig barn.
All right, so you do have to keep moving, even if it's raining. How are we here in late April?
I've got about a little over 10% of my corn planted and pretty close to 30% soybeans planted as of yesterday, last night. We planted 3 days there, the week of the 10th, the week of Easter, planted about 25% of our soybeans and that little bit of corn during that time, and soil conditions were just perfect. There was, you couldn't ask for anything better than what we had. And so we decided to plant some corn and beans that week, and time will tell if that was the right move or if we should have planted more or less, but we planted some and put some eggs in the basket.
Is that up? What you planted?
No. Nope, not yet. I dug on some of it yesterday morning, and it's got a ways to go. The corn does for sure. The beans, at least where I dug, I didn't spend a lot of time in either field, but what I did dig was pretty close to coming out here in another few days.
If it was maybe a little warmer, that seed probably would have popped.
Yeah, if I would have planted earlier in the week, probably that week of Easter, it would probably be up. I planted Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of that week soybeans, and I think that helped to kind of drag my feet a little bit and wait till the latter end of the warm weather. Otherwise, I probably would have had beans up maybe yesterday, and they would have gotten frosted pretty hard yesterday.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask. So you're kind of in our area, and it was frost, so you did have some frost.
Yeah, we had a pretty hard freeze, actually. My dad said he had, I think, 25 on his thermometer at home, and the Quad Cities was talking about 27 or 28 degrees. So I would assume that it would be colder a little bit closer to the surface from where those typical temperatures are taken. So I would say we would have had some problems if we had crop up yesterday.
So that was the temptation there to plant? I mean, I guess you're saying time will tell, but sitting a week after, 2 weeks after that first round of planting, are you kicking yourself going, I should have planted more? Or are you still okay with your decision?
I'm still okay with it. I think looking back now, I would have planted a different hybrid than I did on corn. I think time will tell on that. I thought with that nice warm week, warm soil temperatures, I took a risk on some lower scoring cold germ samples for that hybrid. And I thought, well, I'm going to risk it and I'm going to try it. And time will tell on that for sure. But I don't have any regrets with either crop really, short of that, the hybrid selection maybe. But otherwise, I don't think I would have planted any more. Maybe I would have planted a few more beans and just kind of sat tight with corn like it did, but we'll get a window at some point and
yeah,
we'll get it in.
Are you 50-50 corn soybeans, you think, this year? Did you change any of your plans?
No change to plans. We're pretty close to 50-50 every year.
And is there any acres where the rain just kind of annoys you that you may have to flip something? I mean, do you still have that option, or are you pretty locked in?
We're pretty well locked in. We got on all of our bean stubble, we have everything with anhydrous on it. We don't typically do much for corn on corn, and we have most of our soybean acres going to soybeans. We don't have the pre-emerge done yet. So there would be the option to flip, but more than likely I'm not going to make any changes at this point.
How are you sitting moisture-wise? I mean, other than it's keeping you out of the field, is subsoil pretty strong?
Yeah, we still have tile running. We put in some new tile here over the last couple of weeks, and some of it's running. Topsoil moisture, we're a little short. I mean, all these little rains and even the cool weather that we've had, we've dried out very well for how cool it's been. And so that tells me that we're pretty short on topsoil moisture, but we're sitting okay on subsoil with our tile running. So we're in a good spot. If we can just get some warmer temperatures, even these little rains won't be much of a nuisance to us going forward.
Where you are sitting, you can't quite see the Mississippi, but you know it's close, and that is getting ready to flood. I saw a little farther north, and that eventually goes downstream. Does flooding on the Mississippi impact you at all?
It does. It has more in the past than it will this year. Most of my corn goes to an ethanol plant inland, so I'm not using the river system for a lot of my corn acres. Soybeans, not a lot of effect for me either personally. Most of my beans get shipped in the fall, and a lot of those do go to the river market out of the field. So typically we're not looking at flood during the fall, but so the river system with the flooding coming isn't having a big effect on me, at least at the moment. But there's a lot of people that it is having an effect on that have grain to move that's locked in to go into the river market for sure.
So let's see, Lock and Dam 15 is the one. You're between 15 and 16, right? That's what's south of you, and 15's to the 17. North.
Yeah, 17. I think I'm between 17 and 16.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're just a little farther downstream than I was thinking. Sorry. So does that close occasionally because of flooding, the river there?
Yes, it has. 2019 obviously was a big flood year, and things closed down for that for most of the summer, really. If I remember right, we didn't send any grain to the river terminal until July, I believe, of that year was the first grain that we could haul for the year down to the river. Right now, things are still open, from what I can tell, with some text messages from some of those facilities that they're still open this week. But I would imagine by the end of the week, first next week, that they'll be closed for an undetermined amount of time.
And this is a common time for flooding. I always think of the 420, 425, 430 timeframe. Late April is common in your area to have flooding along the river.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the flooding this year, a lot of the water in the river is not coming from us. It's coming from the snow melt up north. So we aren't contributing much to the issue right now, but a lot of that snow melt, and there's still, it looks like, a lot of snow to melt to come down still yet.
You mentioned a lot of your crop goes inland, ethanol this time of year. How much old crop do you have to either sell or ship? I mean, is everything spoken for?
We probably have about a third of our old crop corn left to go and to be priced. I've just been kind of selling little bits here and there as time allows to get it hauled. And I wish I was a little more sold than that, but hindsight's 2020, but you know, markets haven't been reacting the way that I thought they might be with some of these planting delays and a lot of the potential for prevent plant acres up north. And I think things are kind of doing the opposite of what I think they should happen, but that's just kind of how it works sometimes.
You can try to outsmart the market, but in the end, the market always makes you not feel so smart.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's on your corn, a third left. What do you have left on beans?
Soybeans, I've been sold out since, maybe January, February. I can't remember now, but got most of those moved off the combine and sold the rest of them scattered through the wintertime.
So where you're at, you're not in an irrigated area, right?
Nope.
So when you see these reports of it may be wet this summer or it may be dry, you're kind of stuck at the whatever falls, right? There's really nothing you can do at this point.
Yeah, so we actually, a lot of our ground, we tend to do better in a little bit drier type climate. When we get a lot of rain, we still have a fair amount of farmland that's not tiled well enough that those big rains we just can't handle, and it only takes a couple big rains, a couple days, a week to ruin a crop when it comes to too much water, but it takes weeks of going without water to really suffer with our crop. So I guess we tend to do better in a little drier than a little wetter.
Because last year, if I remember, what you had told me is that you were dry and then there was a good stretch of rain and then you dried off again, right? Is that how that went?
Yeah, we were dry going through May and June. And then at the end of June, we caught about 4.5 inches of rain and all in one shot. And then after that time for the rest of the summer, or for the most part, the rest of the summer, we were just catching little bits of rain here and there. We weren't overly dry by any means after that. We just were kind of hand to mouth at that point with rain and everything. Just the stars kind of aligned for a great crop.
And you hope just getting that thing in. Do you feel, I mean, what are your emotions on a day like today where you're kind of stuck doing those other things instead of rolling the wheels?
Well, if this was a, you know, there's no such thing as an average year, but I guess if I had to pick an average planting start date, it would have been yesterday. You know, the last full week of April is kind of my year in, year out target to get started. And so I just got to think big picture, and we're ahead of normal right now. And what I do have in the ground, I feel pretty good about at the moment. So, I mean, there's still a lot of time, and who knows, maybe next week will be sunshine and 85 all week, and we'll have the crop in the ground by next Friday. I don't know.
Do you text the neighbors and do they get antsy too?
Yeah. So there's been a lot of that here the last couple weeks. Especially that week of Easter, there were, talking with my ag retailer, there was a lot of guys that are typically patient and don't push the envelope and don't plant till the end of April, or they plant their corn first. They were out there early planting beans. It's just been kind of weird that we've had such a nice window there a couple weeks ago that some people that typically wait were out planting, and some people that would normally be out planting were waiting. So it's been kind of interesting to see who's doing what and all that. And there's been a lot of talk with neighbors on, hey, what are you doing? What do you think? And it's been kind of fun to see what's going through everybody's mind and kind of what their plan is.
Do you see anybody with anything up?
I haven't physically seen anything up. I have heard that there is some corn in the area, maybe 20 to 30 miles south of here, that was planted just ahead of Easter that's up right now.
And do you, I guess this will be the year that you can figure out if that early planting versus traditional or even 1st of May really makes a difference on yield. Are you excited at that data point that you might get, but yet apprehensive of, oh, I got to wait?
I'm actually, it's allowed to kind of spread out our workload a little bit, spread our risk. And in an average year, you know, we're just, as soon as it's dry, we're trying to stick it all in. Well, we've only had kind of the small windows so far. So it's just allowed us to spread our risk that way, whether we wanted to or not. And so to be able to see the potential differences in planting dates, pretty nice to have that opportunity that Mother Nature has kind of forced our hand that way versus doing it ourselves. So interesting to see how it kind of plays out. But, you know, I would like to get some more corn planted, but with it being so cold and chances of rain, it's my risk appetite for sticking much more corn in the ground is pretty low right now.
I guess I should have asked your yield or not your, your acreage number. What are you, how many acres of corn do you expect to plant and how many beans when you say 50-50 on that? What's your acreage this year?
About 600 of each, both corn and beans.
So that means you've got maybe 100 of each in, well, maybe 200 on beans.
Yep. I got about 80 of corn in and a little over 200 of beans in right now.
Okay. And then you wait.
Yep. And then we wait. This rain that we just caught overnight here and this morning didn't show up in the forecast till I think about Saturday or Sunday. So that was one of those things here at the end of last week with this cold, the cold that came over the weekend and everything. Like, well, I'll wait till Monday or Tuesday to start planting for this week and we'll see what happens by Thursday, Friday when we got some more rain chances coming in. But then this rain that happened overnight that was kind of late forecasted kind of threw a little bit of wrench into those plans, but I guess that's just the way it goes.
What's your ideal temperature that you like both soil and air to plant in?
That's a great question. I guess as far as the soil temp goes, I'm not overly concerned with soil temperature per se. I'd say 45 or above is okay with me. It's more about the moisture, soil moisture. If we're on the wetter side, 45 and wet, not good. 45 and dry, I'll risk that, you know, 9 times out of 10, probably. Air temperature, I like daytime highs at least to hit 60, because that way I know our soil temperature should be trending upward, but we've been struggling to get conditions that have to increase our soil temperature ever since that week Easter. It's just been slow moving or very steady.
Well, if I look at the forecast here on my phone, I don't see too many 60s. It looks high 50s. You're close, but at least it's not 40.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, if you planted everything by the book, we would have planted a bunch there in the week of Easter and wouldn't have planted anything since then. So I don't know what's right or what's wrong, but I got the planting capacity to be pretty patient. And so that's kind of what I'm doing. But at the same time, I got other work to do besides just putting seed in the ground. I got new pigs coming next week. So I kind of want to manage my workload with that coming on the horizon too.
Well, I did want to close with your pigs. You mentioned that in the beginning. You said, so they're coming next week. I guess in a sense, getting that work done when you can't be planting probably helps your mental side a little bit, knowing, okay, I had to get this work done. I guess it's okay to get it done right now.
Yep. And so I spent most of the weekend, or at least a good portion of the weekend, setting up the barn for the new pigs. And I got most of it set up, and I'll probably finish setting the rest up today, as long as the sun doesn't shine and the wind's not blowing and dries us off quicker than I think. I'll probably finish up preparation for that here today, and then I'll be kind of in a holding pattern again.
Well, just a moment ago, the sun came and hit the side of your head, so maybe the sun's still trying.
It's trying, but it's got quite a few clouds to make its way through to stay out for good today.
Well, Chad, I hope it's ideal, optimal, perfect, even imperfect planting, but planting happens soon for you. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate it.
Mike, I have you fresh off the farm here. You were doing a field day this morning. What are you seeing in the fields of Oklahoma?
We are on the second field stop this morning. We will have our third this afternoon in southwest Oklahoma. Today, we've been down at the Tipton Research Station, and we will wrap up at the Altus Research Station this evening. And I have to be honest, it is the first time in the last 10 years that I have been to these field days in southwest Oklahoma where we have seen measurable rainfall. And so we did get measurable rainfall across the state last night. It's not going to change much, I don't think, at this point in time from what we're going to see on the prospective crop for this coming year. In many instances, it's just too little, too late. But there are some areas that did receive moisture in southwest Oklahoma this past year that look like they will make, you know, in the mid-30s. And your higher management intensive producers, there are some areas maybe where you're going to see some stuff in the low 60s. Again, those are just instances of the crop being areas of few and in far between places. So that's, you know, that's not what the state looks like overall. Overall, as you get into south central, central, northwest Oklahoma, where we have the majority of our wheat production, and then in the panhandle regions, really dire situations across the state. Thankful for the rain. Just wish it would have came, 2 to 3 months sooner.
For those of us, we know Oklahoma, I-35 kind of cuts you in half or in thirds. Is that right? Is that about right?
It goes pretty well straight down the center of the state.
So you're talking on the west edge of 35. It's been dry, continued to be dry, and it's a tough situation.
As you move further west, yes, west of 35, a dry situation. And that's where the majority of our wheat production takes place in the state of Oklahoma. There are some areas, USDA has this in a region where 6% of the crop is favored good, 1% excellent, 31% fair, 63% in the poor to very poor category. Those numbers are just really probably nothing like we've seen in quite some time. I looked back, I think it was about 2011 when we had the significant drought back then that we were kind of looking at the same situation as far as crop quality. But that 6% good, 1% excellent, it would be in the southern far southwest regions, or it'd be in the south central regions of the state where we did get a little bit of moisture. Other than that, there's been a long period of time before we've had measurable rainfall in many places of the state. In fact, in a lot of locations, it's been around out in the panhandle, 235 days since we've had a quarter inch of rain in those regions. And in many instances in northwest Oklahoma, we've gone 120 days, 180 days where we've been in the same situation, less than a quarter inch of rain and measurable rainfall. And then that really hurts us in northwest Oklahoma because that's where our large wheat production area is.
Okay, I guess I didn't fully understand Oklahoma's history here. Would you say that 100 days without rain is something that most could say, yeah, that happens? Is that a regular occurrence? Or, I mean, because like if we go 30 days without a rain here in the Corn Belt, that's a huge deal. But what's considered dry, you don't really like it? We need rain every 45 days or 60 days, right?
Well, there's at least some type of measurable rainfall of usually every 20 to 30 days. And I would say in some of your larger wheating, in some of your larger wheat production counties in north central, northwest Oklahoma, oftentimes, you know, you'll get 1 to 2 inch rains at a time. So to go those distances with less than a quarter of an inch, that certainly is abnormal from what we generally see. I think that no doubt we've been in a long-term drought the last 10 years. So some of this is mirroring probably what we've seen in the 50s and what we've seen in the 30s. But, you know, it's not as uncommon to see these longer periods where we don't receive rainfall in the panhandle regions, but still 235 days without measurable rainfall at that amount. I mean, that's a pretty extreme period of time. And so, you know, there's an impact just overall for crop production, whether it be other summer crops, as well as pasture and rangeland, too, where we've really seen some really tough situations for producers in that region this year. Yeah, I think our farming practices, no doubt, are better than what we had seen in the Dust Bowl. But in some instances, just because there has not been moisture for any type of growth on anything, we've had some really rough days with the high winds this past spring, to where it was almost like Dust Bowl conditions in some places at times.
In the eastern part of the state, are they kind of going, well, we have some rain? I mean, is that, you have to just take it when you can, right?
Right. And so the eastern part of the state has still kind of been on par with what they normally would get. They generally get more rainfall in those regions of the state, but that's just not where the majority of our wheat production takes place. In fact, there's just, I would say probably 5% of our wheat production comes east of I-35, where the rainfall is happening. So it's going to have an impact overall on crop numbers. You know, I'm a little surprised that the market hasn't really reacted just to how dire the situation is here in the Southern Plains, based on the same situation. Texas is going through the same thing, and West Texas, we're seeing the same thing through Central Kansas and Western Kansas, where a large portion of their wheat belt exists, and also seeing the same thing in Eastern Colorado. And I would say that the situation is probably even more dire when you talk to producers in the Kansas region and just look at the Mesonet readings of where they've been with extreme and exceptional drought conditions in those areas, too. And so, you know, we're certainly looking at a larger impact of significance, I think, just on how this overall crop is going to be for hard red winter wheat in this region. I think that we are seeing a lot of production in other parts of the world, and that has been why the market hasn't reacted up to this point in time. And I know we're only one piece of the pie or the piece of the puzzle, but I don't know that the market has really, you know, factored in just to how bad it is. I think that they think, you know, we'll wait till wheat crop production numbers start being reported, which in Oklahoma, that'll be on May 2nd with the Oklahoma Grain and Feed. That'll be the first estimate for this crop year. And then the Kansas Wheat Tour, their crop estimates will be coming out the third week of May. But I just have to think that the market's going to start reacting at some point when those numbers are being reported, because just based off of my experience of the last 15 years at the Wheat Commission, we've had some tough years. 2014 was a tough year for us at 51 million bushels. 2018 was also a tough year at 52 million bushels. We had some late freeze situations and drought conditions in those years. But I think that this year up to this point in time looks much, much worse than those years. And so, you know, while I don't want to give my estimates out before they come out next week based off of my assessments, I will say that I think that you know, certainly we're going to be looking at a much worse situation for crop production than we did in those years of 2014 and 2018.
So closer to that 2011 is what you're saying.
And 2011 was also a bad crop production year. Those numbers up to this point on estimates were very unfavorable. We had extremely high temperatures in 2011, and we got the crop harvested, and actually there was some late freeze situations in 2011 that affected our estimates up to this point in time, but we still had moisture up to certain points before the crop harvest, where we came in stronger that year. But then after we got the crop harvested that late June, we went like 100 days over 100 degrees with 100 degree temps, and it certainly did have an impact. It just had an impact at a different time. So we didn't see the crop production loss in the year of 2011 like we did in 14 and 18. And certainly we're going to see that same type of loss now in this year. It's just, I think it's just inevitable. It would something would have, you know, it'd have to be a miracle for us not to have the same type of numbers that we were looking at in 2014 or 18. And the rain is going to help us. You know, I think there's areas in the central part of the state where there are producers that are management intensive in the way that they're doing their methods. And in those instances, you know, you look at going, you know, 100 to 125 days without any moisture at all from planting, it's really kind of phenomenal just to even think that there'd be something alive out in the field in those instances. But there are areas that, you know, look like they are going to still make 20 to 25 bushels per acre. And I think this rain in those instances is really going to help the wheat stretch at this point in time. And so I'm hopeful maybe it'll be a little bit better. You know, it's really kind of a mixed bag when you look out in fields across the state too. Again, your better ground on some of your farms look like it may make 30 bushels per acre or 35. And then you'll get into areas where you're on just real marginal ground. And then that's what's going to really bring the yield down in these instances where it may make anywhere from 5 to 10 bushels per acre. And then just, you know, just talking with producers, once you get west of 81 Highway, which is, you know, 25 to 30 miles west of I-35, once you really get out into those regions, it just really changes. And a lot of that crop has already been disastered out all across the state in west central, northwest Oklahoma and the Panhandle regions.
So what does a dry last 235 days mean for you moving forward after this crop?
You know, I just think, you know, producers are probably looking at certain situations of contemplation of what they're going to do. You know, an inch to 2 inches of moisture certainly is wonderful news for us. One thing I've noticed just in the fields of southwest Oklahoma, you can tell that there is moisture in the soil profile, but there is no water in the ditches anywhere you look. So it has taken it up. So by no means do I think that this means that we are out of a long-term drought at this point in time. So, you know, I think producers are going to weigh options maybe to put summer crops out in some of these regions. Of course, I think that producers are making those management decisions right now in southwest Oklahoma for dry land cotton. But, you know, in areas where they irrigate out of the Lugert Altus irrigation district, you know, the lake is really dry. So they're not going to have the water yet at that point in time. So that is still a consideration that producers are going to have to take with management decisions that they're making. And, you know, as you get into north central Oklahoma, where we see a lot of soybean production in the summer months, I would suspect producers are weighing at those options to go into that. But again, I think that they're being cautious about what they're doing yet, because it's going to take more than 1 or 2 inches of moisture to be making those management decisions. The other thing is that where we have had crop losses, a lot of times if the crop doesn't make, we will go ahead and cut that for hay, that wheat crop for hay for forage purposes for cattle. And in many instances, producers were hoping that, you know, the hay situation is extremely dire for cattle producers. I think you were going to, you know, see that as an option, but the crop just really didn't even have enough forage to make hay. So in those instances, we really took a loss on that as well right now at this point in time.
We had a conversation about 6 months ago with, you know, the noted livestock expert there at Oklahoma State. And it was already a tough story then for livestock producers. You have many of your members are multi-crop and livestock as well. Sometimes one's supposed to help balance the other one. This is just tough all around. Is there any, give me some sunshine somewhere, Mike. Give me a silver lining here for someone.
Well, cattle prices have been higher, you know, it's been really hard for the cattle producers as well. In many instances, they were trying to hold on to their herds. And I think on the calf side, the producers have had to liquidating herds. So that's been a challenge. Again, I think there was this hope that there would be at least some type of system or mechanism for hay on the crop if it didn't make. And, you know, there are places where they are laying down hay, but I don't think that the amount of hay that we've seen in years where maybe where there was a crop loss before, where wheat production has gone into that, is anything like we've ever seen before. And so I think it's still going to be a really tough period for individuals running cattle, or if they have a cow-calf operation, because, you know, it's going to help things as far as pasture growth and things like that. But the one thing that that I've just seen this spring driving around the state as well is that the grasslands have not come back as fast as what they normally would in the spring, just because we haven't had the moisture to replenish them. So I think, you know, certainly things are going to look a lot different a day or two from now than what they have. But I don't think that it's a magic bullet to get us out of some of these situations that producers are dealing with right now.
Yeah, and that was a common conversation topic I had with a producer in the panhandle a couple of days ago, who was talking about exactly what you're saying. My pasture is dry and nothing's going to help it anytime soon. So, Mike, I guess for a national story or for a national audience looking at what's Oklahoma, what do you want to be the parting wisdom of, you know, what your situation is? And not necessarily anybody can help, but just to know about what's going on there.
Well, you know, I always try not to be overly negative. I don't like to be all doom and gloom, but I do hope that consumers, as well as policymakers, realize that it's really been a difficult past year and a half for our individuals in production agriculture, just due to the significant drought. And I know we have a lot of other things going on in the world that are impacting the market and pricing, and so. You know, I think it's only going to take one major event maybe to change that discussion. We see that all the time whenever we see exports being limited out of the Ukraine region based on the issues that they're having over there. And then when things get to flowing again, that seems to be impacting the market. We seem to have a lot more wheat now coming out of Australia that we didn't have 3 to 4 years ago, because they were in the same situation we were in. And so I think that's impacting our markets right now. But I hope that individuals making purchasing decisions for the milling industry in the U.S. and globally realize that the United States, while we're not going to run out of wheat or flour, you know, at this point in time, it's really probably one of the worst crops that I have seen in the Southern Plains in my lifetime. And I've talked to a couple of producers just in my region the other day. One was 71 years of age and one was 52 years of age. And they had said the same thing. They've never experienced anything like this in their life. And I think part of that is the lack of moisture and then the extreme winds that we have had too as well. I mean, just, you know, going 4 and 5 days with 40 to 50 mile an hour wind gust, and then the warmer temperatures that had come earlier, all just kind of have created a perfect storm for really a challenging time for us in agriculture.
I guess let's leave it at this, Mike. What is the mentality? I mean, the farmer is always optimistic. They always think we're going to put it in, rains will come, something will work for us. How do you keep the spirits up of producers here in 2 to 6 months when they're making decisions on the next crop? Go ahead and plant it. Rain's going to come. Get me in the head of a producer over there.
Well, I think you're right. I think as producers, we are always eternal optimists, and we always try to find a way to make something out of nothing. And so I think that, you know, oftentimes out of bad situations, good things come. And I think that, you know, this too shall pass. We've gone through these periods in time before. If you look back in history, I think this is just one of those times where we're really having some of those struggles from Mother Nature. And I'm hopeful with the rain that we have received, since it is the first amount of measurable rainfall all across Western Oklahoma, that maybe we will get into a different weather system and things will be more positive for us a month or two from now.
We'll see how it all shakes out. Mike Schulte, thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
My thanks to Chad Bell and Mike Schulte for their time on this installment of the MTOM Show podcast. New episodes come out each and every Tuesday. Follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll come right into your device. Kind of cool, isn't it? We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.